Reading from Krishna book. Prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. He's getting ready to appear tomorrow. And we'll just begin where we left off, or you all left off from yesterday. Thus ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya circumambulated the Lord and then appeared within this material world according to his order. When Yogamaya, the supreme power of the supremely powerful Personality of Godhead, transferred Lord Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, both Devaki and Rohini were under Yogamaya's spell, which is called Yoganidra. When this was done, people thought that Devaki's seventh pregnancy had been a miscarriage. Thus, although Balaram appeared as the son of Devaki, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini to appear as her son. After this arrangement, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is always ready to protect his unalloyed devotees, entered within the mind of Vasudeva as the Lord of the whole creation, with full inconceivable potencies. It is understood in this connection that Lord Krishna, first of all, situated himself in the unalloyed heart of Vasudeva, and was then transferred to the heart of Devaki. He was not put into the womb of Devaki by seminal discharge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable potency, can appear in any way. It is not necessary for him to appear in the ordinary way, by seminal injection within the womb of a woman. Paragraph. When Vasudeva was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord situated in the pure, unalloyed heart of Vasudeva is not different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, and specifically within the heart, is called Dhamma. Dhamma refers not only to Krishna's form, but also to his name, his qualities, and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. Paragraph. Thus, the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full potencies was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki, exactly as the setting sun's rays are transferred to the full moon rising in the east. Paragraph. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thus entered the body of Devaki from the body of Vasudeva without being subject to any of the conditions of an ordinary living entity. Since Krishna was there, it is to be understood that all his plenary expansions, such as Narayana and incarnations like Lord Nrisimha and Varaha, were with him, and they also were not subject to the conditions of material existence. In this way, Devaki became the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second and the cause of all creation. Devaki became the residence of the Absolute Truth. But because she was confined within the house of Kamsa, she looked just like a suppressed fire or like misused education. When a fire is kept in a jug, the illuminating rays of the fire cannot be very much appreciated. Similarly, misused knowledge, which does not benefit the people in general, is not very much appreciated. So, Devaki was kept within the prison walls of Kamsa's palace, and no one could see her transcendental beauty, which resulted from her conceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paragraph. Kamsa, however, saw the transcendental beauty of his sister, Devaki, and he at once concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had taken shelter in her womb. She had never before looked so wonderfully beautiful. He could distinctly understand that there was something wonderful within the womb of Devaki. In this way, Kamsa became perturbed. Because he was sure that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who would kill him in the future, had now come, Kamsa began to think, what is to be done with Devaki? Surely she has Vishnu or Krishna within her womb. So it is certain that Krishna has come to execute the mission of the demigods. And even if I immediately kill Devaki, his mission cannot be frustrated. Kamsa knew very well that no one can frustrate the purpose of Vishnu. Any intelligent man can understand that the laws of God cannot be violated. His purpose will be served in spite of all impediments offered by the demons, Kamsa thought. If I kill Devaki at the present moment, Vishnu will enforce his supreme will more vehemently. To kill Devaki just now would be a most abominable act. No one desires to kill his reputation. Even in an awkward situation, if I kill Devaki now, my reputation will be spoiled. Devaki is a woman and she is under my shelter. She is pregnant, and if I kill her, immediately my reputation, the results of my pious activities, and my duration of life will all be finished. He further deliberated. A person who is too cruel is as good as dead, even in this lifetime. No one likes a cruel person during his lifetime, and after his death, people curse him. On account of his self-identification with the body, he must be degraded and pushed into the darkest region of hell. Kamsa meditated on all the pros and cons of killing Devaki at that time. Paragraph. Kamsa finally decided not to kill Devaki right away, but to wait for the inevitable future. But his mind became absorbed in animosity against the Personality of Godhead. He patiently waited for the delivery of the child, expecting to kill him as he had done previously with the other babies of Devaki. Thus, being merged in the ocean of animosity against the Personality of Godhead, he began to think of Krishna or Vishnu while sitting, while sleeping, while walking, while eating, while working. In all the situations of his life, his mind became so much absorbed with the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that indirectly he could see only Krishna or Vishnu around him. Unfortunately, his mind was so absorbed in the thought of Vishnu, although his mind was so absorbed in the thought of Vishnu, he is not recognized as a devotee because he was thinking of Krishna as an enemy. The state of mind of a great devotee is also to be always absorbed in Krishna, but a devotee thinks of him favorably, not unfavorably. To think of Krishna favorably is Krishna consciousness, but to think of Krishna unfavorably is not Krishna consciousness. So that's a nice place to break. Have any of you ever pondered, as I pondered, the Bhagavad Gita verse, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrata? I remember reading that as a new devotee and pondering and not getting clarity. Yogamaya. Because the usage that Srila Prabhupada would commonly use, Yogamaya, was the internal potency of Krishna by which he engaged in his pastimes, and that's Yogamaya. So how is it that Yogamaya is being used in Bhagavad Gita to say Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrata, that those who are inimical towards Krishna, that Yogamaya is covering them? It's not covered in the Krishna book, but it's covered in the verses of the Bhagavatam. And then the commentary explains it. So, I'm glad you raised your hand and offered some suggestions. I'll offer one too. The relationship between, similar to what Bhrigupati Prabhu said, the relationship between Mahamaya and Yogamaya is Mahamaya is the reflection of Yogamaya, and it's the same energy acting differently according to the regard that the living entity has towards Krishna. If the regard towards Krishna is as a devotee toward Krishna favorably, then the Yogamaya internal potency acts upon the life or within the life of the devotee. And if one has a negative regard toward Krishna, inimical regard toward Krishna, or forgetfulness of Krishna, forgetfulness of one's loving relationship and service relationship with Krishna, then it's Mahamaya. And it's the same energy working differently according to one's regard for Krishna. Similar to an object and the shadow of the object. Bhrigupati's example was like a government instrument, or like a police force acts favorably towards a good citizen and differently towards the bad citizen, the law breaker. Same police force, they have a different function according to the regard towards the government and the agents of the government. So later, the part that's not described, in this summary Krishna book, is Krishna says, after you transfer Balaram to the womb of Rohini, then you take birth in the womb of Yashoda, and then I'll take birth in the as the eighth child of Devaki. We'll do a swap. You'll come over here to the prison house of Kamsa. I'll go over there to the side of Yashoda. Kamsa's going to come and try to kill you. Don't worry. You're my internal potency. You can't be killed. He's a fool. But when he fails, then your next service is you'll go here and there throughout the land and be known by different names, names of Durga. Now, Krishna is addressing Yogamaya, saying you'll be known by names of Durga, according to the geographic areas. People have different names. Speaking to Yogamaya. So it's one potency acting differently according to the regard that one has for Krishna. So the deluding feature is the Mahamaya feature, but it's she is an expansion or a reflection of Yogamaya. Anyway, there's commentary that explains all of that. There's a very nice example of that in Navadvip Mahatmya, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing Parvati goes to Simantadvip without all the detail, and she calls Gauranga's name and Gauranga comes, and then she offers her prayers to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I never get to be in your direct service. I always have this thankless task of keeping people away from you because they're inimical towards you, and I never get your direct association. And then he explains the same principle, that actually you're intimately connected to me, and through you, my activities are performed. As Mahamaya, or as Durga, or Parvati in this way, as Yogamaya in that way, you're very dear to me. You know, thank you very much. One entity, differently perceived according to how one has regard for Krishna. In fact, that's the difference between the spiritual and material world. And interestingly, the way that Prabhupada has written this or spoken this is then Yogamaya appeared within this world, indicating the conversation was out of this world. But then she appeared in this world. So as Krishna can expand himself, his potencies can expand themselves sometimes in the spiritual world, but appearing in this world, Yogamaya was not affected, just as then next Krishna was not affected. It's an important teaching to understand the transcendental nature, janma karma chime divyam. When Krishna appears, it's not that he becomes influenced by his energy, quite to the contrary. His energy is under his influence. It's different than us. We can't become Krishna, that's silly. Although some people teach you can. And repeated in different ways, several times, the appearance of Krishna was not by seminal discharge. He's not ordinary. Part of that is essential. I remember when, I'm sure some of us in the room also remember, when Krishna book was first published, and we were very surprised because Prabhupada had spoken again and again and again about not going to the 10th canto, read the first 9 cantos, and then comes Krishna book. And we're going out to meet people that don't know nothing about nothing, and we're giving them Krishna book. That was puzzling. But what Prabhupada wanted to do, as far as I can understand, was he didn't know if he was going to be able to complete Srimad Bhagavatam, and he wanted to leave behind in this world a literature that people can properly understand instead of the other way, misunderstanding Krishna. So very, very carefully he made a summary study of the 10th canto, which meant, in Prabhupada's own words, I can write whatever I like. And he follows the chapter by chapter by chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 10, but he's presenting in such a way that the common fellow can get a proper understanding of Krishna. So these points I'm indicating from Krishna book, it's part of what Prabhupada wanted to do, to get his ordinary fellow readers to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna. So when they read other parts that are very mysterious, they have an understanding of the mysteriousness, the nature of Krishna. So he has unlimited potencies when he appears. The whole dham is there. He says paraphernalia and potencies and so forth, and his associates. There's these sections, there's so much, what our acharyas have disclosed is so rich and full. It's just selecting which of those rich and full things to speak about is why I'm pausing. When it's said that Krishna appeared within the mind of Vasudeva, it's not just a picture of Krishna in his mind. It's the whole everything. The whole everything. The abode, the associates, the cows, the Govardhan Hill, River Jamuna. I mean, how do you fit all that in the mind? It's just like, because it's not just some material instrument. It's a material instrument. When Krishna appears, he can spiritualize the place, and the place becomes dham. Can expand that point, but it's nice to remember, as Prabhupada is pointing it out. And another thing I noticed reading this is Prabhupada would go back and forth between mind and heart. He appeared within the mind of Vasudeva and then was transferred to the mind of Devaki, but sometimes the heart of Vasudeva, the heart of Devaki. And then his body became the dham, his mind, his heart, her mind, her heart. So thinking of Krishna favorably like that, the mind becomes the dham. Now, normally it's not like that. It's normally it's trash. But it can become the dham just by bhakti. Then another nice point is this term Vasudeva, we find this in Bhagavad Gita. There's the state called Vasudeva, and it's elaborately discussed in the Bhagavatam verses and purports. Vasudeva is the place where Vasudeva appears. Vasudeva is the state of consciousness of Shuddha Sattva. Vasudeva consciousness is Shuddha Sattva consciousness. And when there's sufficient purity, when one's consciousness comes to that Vasudeva state, Krishna appears. Now, Krishna can appear however he likes, wherever he likes. No limitation or prohibition. But for us, we want to make the place for Krishna's appearance attractive and suitable and appropriate. So we engage in devotional activity, starting with hearing and chanting, to make cheta dharpana marginal, make the mind or the heart cleansed. before Krishna is going to make his appearance. Now, Krishna is already there. He's already there in the heart. And the sadhana practice that we're engaged in helps to make the place shuddha, beyond the material goodness even. Shuddha sattva, pure goodness. Then Krishna's appearance can come. Krishna will appear. Now, Krishna's kind, and he may appear even in some other place. Like a nice example, very nice example, is with Narada Muni in his previous life, and he's engaged in the process of mantra chanting and meditation given to him by the Bhaktivedantas, and the Lord Vishnu appeared within his mind, and then suddenly disappeared. And then spoke with him, saying, I did this just to encourage you. Because normally I can't be seen unless one is in the Shuddha Sattva state. But to encourage you, I appeared. Now, go on for the rest of your life. You won't see me for the rest of your life, but you'll become purified. And then you'll come to me. Be engaged in my eternal service. So he can appear if he wishes, even in a non-Vasudev condition. But so from the Vasudev mind to the purified mind of Devaki, then there's this long explanation. The first six children that were killed represent Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarja, and Devaki. Then to prepare for Krishna's appearance, Balaram made his appearance, making everything ready, spiffy, ready for Krishna to appear, and Krishna appeared. And the rest of chapter 2, the main part of chapter 2 is the prayers, which is the very next section from where I stopped, that demigods come to offer their prayers to Devaki within the womb. So now there's the situation of Kamsa seeing his sister or stepsister looking more beautiful than he's ever seen her before, and he does the math real fast. Within her womb is the personality of Godhead. Now, imagine the conflict that he's feeling. Interestingly, Prabhupada speaks of him as recognizing Krishna or Vishnu has appeared, and that the will of Krishna or Vishnu can't be thwarted. If he tried to kill Devaki, he'd get, you know, an escalation of war against him. And yet, on the other hand, he's thinking, well, I'll be patient, and I'll wait till the child is born, and then I'll kill the child. It's kind of like, huh? Is it this or is it that? If he's the transcendental Supreme Lord whose will cannot be thwarted, then how's he going to kill him when he's appearing as a child? He's quite bewildered. But he knows this prophecy that the eighth child of Devaki will kill him. And he goes through this reasoning, as Prabhupada says, the pros and the cons of killing Devaki, his sister, before the child is born. So, you know, at least ostensibly, if she's killed, then the child won't be born. But, you know, if it's Vishnu, then he can appear without being born from the womb of Devaki, no problem. It's pretty baffling, you know, Kamsa's thought process. But anyway, he doesn't want to harm his reputation, and so he waits with his diabolical scheme. The other six children, I killed them, and so child number eight, I'll kill child number eight too. He lapses into another irrationality. But of course, all of this is Krishna's pastime. Krishna appeared, pritranaya sadhunam vinashaya shuduskritam. So it's just an enactment of his pastime. And, you know, what comes is thought process. And what comes after the eighth child of Devaki is born, the whole thing. It's part of Krishna's script. He just recited the script to Yogamaya. And the script is being played out by the players. Whether they're under the Yogamaya influence, as is Yogamaya, or Mahamaya influence, now, Kamsa's making choices, but where is the intelligence guiding the choices that he's making? Coming from Krishna. It's not like we don't have any free will. Kamsa certainly had free will. We all have free will. But the instrument of free will is determining the regard that we have for Krishna determines what kind of intelligence we get. Influenced by the modes of nature. I'll just say one other thing and then see if there's some discussion. Whoops, it's almost 10 after. Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text 40, describes lust has different sitting places, and then Prabhupada speaks of the modes of nature influence the heart. That's his language in Bhagavad Gita. And the mode of goodness influences the heart this way. The mode of passion influences the heart that way. The mode of ignorance influences the heart in another way. And according to the disposition of heart, that is, the regard that we have for Krishna, then intelligence is applied to follow this path, that path, the other path, or mix. And it changes quite a lot as through passage of time. But that's where Krishna provides the intelligence according to one's regard for him. Yayatam mam prapadyante tangsa daiva prajamnyaham. And it's not just according to the devotees, it's according to every living entity, the regard that they have for Krishna. So that's really the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, or the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The intention of our founder Acharya was what? It's really important to know what the intention of our founder Acharya was. One story, there's many, but one story. The first time I saw Srila Prabhupada and was in his presence was at the university that I was attending, without the details because of time. The second was his arrival at JFK, and he was coming to visit New York. And in those days, there wasn't TSA. You could go right to the gate. So there were some number of devotees, I don't know, 150 devotees. And we were, you know, behaving nicely for a while, sitting down, soft kirtan. It was those days when there wasn't jetways, and you could see the plane come. People would walk down the plane and then walk across the, whatever they call it, tarmac, and then up a set of stairs and into the terminal. So we saw the plane arrive. We saw Prabhupada come off the plane. We stopped being very docile. We stood up and loud kirtan. Prabhupada came out doing a shorter version. And the bedlam erupted. And kirtan wasn't soft anymore. Without the details, and then throwing of flower petals, and you know, security thought we were nuts. And we brought Srila Prabhupada. I didn't know that this arrangement was made, but an arrangement was there to have three media people, newspaper or whatever it was, interview Prabhupada. And so we sat down in a lounge, everyone sat at his feet, and the interviewers were in chairs next to Prabhupada. And you know, the introductory question was, Swamiji, your movement has become very successful. You've come to India from India some number of years ago, and your movement is expanding. There must be some message that you have for the Western people. Would you like to share that message? And there goes the microphone. And Prabhupada's, this is his intention. It's, you know, very simple for the reporter. I have come to teach you who you are, because you have forgotten. And then Bhagavad Gita, ABC. So what's the intention of Krishna book, or the intention of Krishna's appearing, or the intention of our observing Krishna Janmashtami tomorrow and all the preparations ahead of time? And obviously it's, you know, to focus our attention on Krishna. And it's by focusing our attention on Krishna in a mood of worshipping and serving him and cooking for him and decorating and etc., etc., everything that we do, it's part of understanding who we are. Self-realization and God-realization occur simultaneously. As with the rising of the sun, one can see the sun, and one can see oneself at the same time. So to keep it really simple, Prabhupada, his intention was to teach you who you are, because you have forgotten. Right across the street from our temple in Houston, Texas, there's a self-realization fellowship facility, a little place. But there's no Krishna. So there's no self-realization. And self-realization means there must be Krishna. Otherwise, there's no self-realization. So Krishna Janmashtami is an occasion, and Krishna book, and giving these literatures to others is an opportunity for people to understand who they are, because they've forgotten. And the medium is having a proper understanding of Krishna and the transcendental nature of his appearance and activities, so that one can understand him and go to him and Purnar Janma Navidyate. So happy Janmashtami to all of you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any discussion? We have no time at all, but you can. I was told I can go a little bit longer. Yes, Naikatma Prabhu. Just project your voice. I'll pretend you have a microphone.
Thank you, Maharaj. I just was very curious, and I was wondering if you could read over again Srila Prabhupada's definition or description of Dhamma.
Okay.
That was very fascinating how Srila Prabhupada defined it.
Sure, I liked it also. Here we go. Short paragraph. When Vasudev was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like a glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Supreme Lord, situated in the pure, unalloyed heart of Vasudev, is non-different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, and specifically within the heart, is called Dhamma. Dhamma refers not only to Krishna's form, but also his name, his qualities, and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. End of paragraph.
I found it very, very fascinating, because I always took Dhamma as that holy place, but Srila Prabhupada defines it even clearer or more
expanded.
Exact.
Well, his name includes everything. His form is not apart from everything. This is a story I heard from Muralidhar Prabhu, or the artist. He was sharing that when they started their artwork, they didn't have a clue what Krishna should look like, so they got different posters from India import stores and asked Prabhupada, you know, the language at the time is, Prabhupada, is this bona fide? And he would look at the posters, and what Muralidhar conveyed was, if there was even a very beautiful painting of Krishna, but it didn't have cows or trees or the river Jamuna or Govardhan or something, not bona fide, because Krishna is not alone. So the name of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the activities of Krishna, the paraphernalia of Krishna, dham, because wherever Krishna is, everything is. And the everything is the holy dham. Someone up front here? Yeah. Here's the microphone.
Thank you, Maharaj. In the reading also was mentioned that the absorption of cancer and the absorption of the devotee, when someone is not favorable, it's called a demon. So can that be applicable also sometimes when devotees mistreat each other, so the attitude towards each other is not favorable, and then the mentality...
Well, be careful. I mean, it's offense, but, you know, say demon is another thing. Aparad, Jiva Goswami describes, this is, pardon me to go, you know, Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami explains that part of the cause of aparad is not recognizing that which is spiritual to be spiritual. And it includes not just devotees, but the soul. That there's, he mentions four things. The Lord, the process of bhakti, you know, seeing the process of bhakti itself as not spiritual, the devotee of the Lord, and the chitkana, his term, the soul itself, you know, the non-devotee, to see the souls within an insect form or a bird form or an animal form as not spiritual, as expendable. That's the rising place or the womb of offense. It's that which is spiritual to be not seen as spiritual. And then because it's not seen as spiritual, then one acts in a manner that's offensive. But the root of it is ignorance of that which is spiritual. So I'm agreeing, I'm just embellishing what you said. But we have to be careful about using the demon language. You know, please. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that when Krishna appears, he appears with his expansions, including Varaha.
Yes, yes.
So by extension, I would say that when he appears as his deity, also all the expansions are there. So the question is, when somebody comes to, let's say, Rukmini Dwarkadesh here, and appeals to them for his material desires, is he praying to Radha Krishna or is he praying to an expansion of Radha Krishna?
Depends on the consciousness of the person who he's praying to.
So he doesn't know that all the expansions are there.
Depends on the consciousness of the person who he's praying to, whatever he knows. You know, there may be all kinds of different conceptions of who they're praying to. And Krishna reciprocates according to the regard they have for him. That's the essence we have from Bhagavad Gita. Iyatam mam prapadyante. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.